Welcome to the 101st Monkey on My Back podcast. Visit the blog at momcomics.com and email us at momcast@gmail.com to leave comments and contributions. Talk around our spinning orders, discuss the no news in News Ambush, and in the spotlight, Jane talks about Moo and Keo and Bunny. Momcast, the comic book podcast that's sure at least one of the DC 52 will be set in Yeovil. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm Jane.
Hello, I'm James.
And I'm Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
I am high.
Are you?
On life.
Wow, that's a great feeling.
I'm hooked on a feeling.
Really?
Yes.
Good. I'm really pleased for you.
You should write a song about that.
You should. How are you, Jane? You're indulging a little bit of arts and crafts
I
see.
Yeah, this pen's amazing.
Jane's got an arts and crafts pen from W.H. Smith's and she's drawing fishies around my news, you git.
I'm making it better.
It is making it better.
That was your fault.
I didn't jog you.
I know, but you put me off.
This is great podcasting.
I know.
Okay, so how have you two been this week? Since the last one.
Been alright.
Yeah,
it was so unfocused. In this country,
it was a bank holiday weekend, wasn't it?
It was. Oh. Do you know, I didn't realise until Saturday.
Oh, that's a nice feeling.
We had Friday off and my and for a wedding and I was very drunk. So on Saturday morning I was feeling really zoned out and my wife said, "Oh, we've arranged, you know, we're gonna be seeing..." because we were going to be seeing Jane and her partner. And on Sunday?
Yes, that Sunday.
That's one of the things I did. And then, but on Saturday, she said, "Oh, and we got, like, she booked up with some other friends." And I was like, "Well, that's the whole weekend now. You know how..." And she said, "No, it's... We've got Monday." And I was like, "What are you talking about? You're just going to bunk off." And that's when the penny dropped that it was a bank holiday. I genuinely didn't realise. That was my week. I was so drunk over the weekend.
Really?
It started with a podcast.
Yes. Well, I didn't want to talk about my week. I just really wanted to thank everyone that was involved in last week's...
You're not going to curry favour with them now. They know who you are.
I don't want to make this about me. I wanted to thank everyone who was involved in the madness that was Momcast 100. Well done if you listened to it all. And I wanted to thank you, Nicholas, in particular. I think we both would like to thank you for what was an epic edit that you did on that. That you actually made some order out of disorder, and I'm really impressed.
I think you broke a world record.
My computer broke as well. Well, it didn't break, but yes, thank you. It took a really... My computer stopped working and it didn't work. So sorry that it was late, everyone. Mm. I don't think I've had one complete thought since then, either.
It looked like hard work, very long. And thank you very much for... I loved my theme tune.
My theme tune was awesome.
Good. So that was everyone. Everyone got a theme tune.
Everyone got a theme tune. That's what's important.
Everyone got a theme tune.
Everybody important got represented.
How did you like your... Someone send Jane a theme tune.
We also had... The show had a theme tune. She gets counted in on that.
Jane's the best of us. Jane deserves a theme
tune. She's the best of us. She's the worst of us. Mm. She completes us.
Yeah. She binds the galaxy together.
She moves through us and around us.
And around us. She binds the galaxy together.
Are you re-editing? Are we freestyling? Are we just making up the Star Wars, Star Wars script as we
I'm
go
a
along?
CGI version. For the first 100 episodes, I was a big puppet. Now I'm a CGI version of myself. My weekend was just... I just kept on fucking my weekend up for me and my wife. Friday was mostly...
Apologies, everyone.
That's all right. Nick's phone just went off.
I'm going to switch it off now.
Friday was mostly sort of sleeping off the hangover. I drink so infrequently now that the fact that we were drinking during the podcast gave me a little bit of a hangover on Friday. But Nikki went out with Scarlett, so I was able to sort of lounge about on the bed, not do much. Saturday, I completely forget what we did. Sunday we were meant to go out. I misread a text from a friend, thought they were coming over. We decided not to go out. And actually, the friend wanted to come around on the Monday when we'd already arranged to do things. So I screwed up his Monday and our Sunday.
Sure.
And then I went out and did a family thing on Monday.
And
John and his girlfriend came around Sunday evening, and we talked to Daniel about Sugar Glider 2. And you'll be able to hear maybe an excerpt in the pod. Do you think you're going to get an excerpt in the pod tonight?
In a bit, yeah.
You sure? Have I put you on the spot a bit?
Well, no, we were going to anyway, but now I feel like I'm only doing it because you've somehow manipulated me into it.
Oh, sorry, no, I totally haven't. We've already discussed it.
Yeah, I can vouch that when Nick saw the file had arrived, he went, okay, I need to get an insert into next week's pod for that.
Yeah, and also the whole thing, it's about 40 minutes, the whole thing will be available on the Moncast feed at some point too.
Yes.
I feel bad because it's you that has to do it, and I feel bad about that.
No,
sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. You can.
It's more work.
There's a certain amount you can expect.
I don't want to be too entitled.
You only had in the end, you only had a couple of glasses of red wine last week, didn't you?
Oh, I had about three or four. I had a fair amount.
You
had a little bit more than me, but
you didn't drink. Because
I think I had more than you thought I did.
Apparently, just before I started editing, I looked at the last of the bottle and I said, I probably shouldn't drink anymore if I'm gonna be doing the edit, that'll make it harder. Oh, but might as well, though. It's only the end of the bottle, and I ended up finishing it. So in the end, that was like, we had two bottles between us.
Surprisingly nice for the price.
Yes, it was a nice price.
It was a nice price.
It was a nice price wine. Free
bottles for £12, I thought it was quite reasonable.
That was quite reasonable at our local Tesco's.
And did we thank Lee Gallagher on the podcast?
Yes, we did.
ATM, but we got a really nice email from him. I don't think we kind of glossed over it. But
no, I think we
did. We?
I think we did.
I generally felt quite drunk by the end, so I forget.
That's okay. We had a lot of pizza. Mm.
That was yummy as well.
It was great. It was an epic show. It was good. I haven't listened back to it, but I assume it was good. Was it?
Yeah,
good?
I've listened back to it.
Is it too traumatic?
It is. I keep going flashbacks.
If you listen to us and you like us for our normal show, it might not have been to your taste. I don't know. It was quite chaotic, but it was fun to do.
And nearly all of the people who listened were on it.
Yeah, that's
fair. Which is quite good. Yeah.
But it was lovely. It was lovely talking live to everyone. That was fun.
Sorry, Jane. How was the rest of it? Because I kind of restarted talking about something, and then we talked about. I just talked over you. What did you do this week? Did you have good times?
Yes, I did. On Friday, I too was not at work. I went to London. I went to Harrods.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you buy a packet of Harrods fags?
No, I went to the tobacconist. They've changed it all around, and they only had cigars. I could not see cigarettes.
Did you buy me a cigar? Because you know how much I like cigars.
Oh, no. I was thinking about, not buying you stuff. I was looking at cigarette cases.
That a memo went round, didn't it?
Yeah.
None of us can buy you stuff anymore. No. It's for your own good.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone would like to buy me a cigar, I particularly like Diplomaticos, which is a Cuban cigar. It's very nice.
I'm not entirely convinced that's going to happen.
They're available in the cigar shop in London Road.
Mm. You should go there then.
Okay.
Is this my fault? Is this because I've already told you, you just need to be careful of open bodies of water and stuff? You know that you don't have to worry about smoking cigars or anything like that.
I like a cigar.
Okay. Sorry, Caroline.
That's okay. And I indulged in a chocolate bar as well, because that is one of the nicest parts of
at Harrods.
Yeah.
Because you eat quite a lot. Do you not snack quite a lot anyway?
Yes.
It's not a secret. You talk about it on Twitter.
I know, but I'm not a big chocolate eater.
Oh, okay.
And we had some nice hot chocolate and some nice cookies. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was amazing. And went to the Christmas section because it's open now.
Oh no,
I know.
Not the C word.
I know. I had to. I don't know why. I just had to.
You didn't have to, Jane. You can't. These things did not just happen.
I did. And bless my partner, Steve. He indulged me and let me spend as much time as I wanted in there. So
Excellent. That
was good. There was no tugging on the arm. Can we go yet? So he is lovely for doing that. And it was his first time in Harrods as well, so that's nice.
Really?
Mm.
So you're taking him up and you're dragging him up in the world.
I disagree. I think he's dating very much below his social class.
Shh, don't tell him that.
Oops-a-daisy.
And then we actually, the whole aim of London was to go see Doug Stanhope, who's a stand-up comedian.
Oh.
And
which one's he? Do an impersonation.
I can't do an impersonation.
I'm an angry guy!
Oh, is it him?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was listening to some of him the other day.
The show was really good. Unfortunately, the audience wasn't so great. You always get one or two people that have to talk to the comedian for some reason. I haven't seen it in any other show. They don't do it when you go to panto or musicals or
they
stations.
Do it when you go to panto.
Well, yeah, uninvited.
Heckling.
Yeah. Well, not even heckling, just joining in when they haven't been asked to join in, basically.
I think we might be a country whose brain has been forever destroyed by panto on that exact
maybe.
Score.
Yeah.
That's why we all think we're part of the show.
Yeah.
And you've been framed.
It was very irritating. But beforehand, we had a little bit of time to kill and it was raining, so we decided to go to M&M World.
Oh.
Oh, it's the scariest place ever.
Is it to do with the wrapper M&M?
No, to do with the chocolate.
Oh, okay.
The brand M&M, I guess.
Yes,
yeah.
The chocolate brand.
The candy.
I'd say candy, but everything you could possibly think of that you could print an M&M on was in this shop. And when I say shop, it was four levels of fun. It was four floors of M&Ms. And on one floor, it literally had part of the floor was just curved round and every possible colour you can think of M&Ms. It was very crazy in there.
Green.
It was very colourful.
Mauve.
Pink.
No, everything.
Apparently, I found out this morning I can only think of about five colours. Six. The ones that are in the song. Red,
okay.
And yellow, and...
Yeah, they had aqua, teal, cream, white, black, grey, silver,
peace.
Gold. They had just a ridiculous amount of colours.
Sienna.
I did not actually read all the names, but...
So they had what, on child stationery, stamped M&Ms?
Yeah, they had
just trying
had
to think of things.
Well, hello Mondcast, Graham Johnson here, the author of the webcomic Private Study, which is over at privatestudycomic.co.uk. When I said I might do a contribution, I was ordered by James to talk about Private Study, so I'm going to talk about Private Study. I think the best description of what it is was unfortunately not originally said by me, but actually David Wynne of Particle Fiction. And that's that it's a sixth-form soap opera / sitcom, which is imperfect but still quite nice alliteration. For people in countries where they might have high school or something instead of the English secondary school system, sixth-form is just the last 2 years of school before you go off to university. Private Study follows the lives of a bunch of teenagers, particularly a central four, although there's an ever-expanding cast of key secondary characters who help make the comic what it is. And at this point of the story, pretty much all the characters, except the couple of teachers I've got in there, are about 16. The comic follows them as they grow into adults and take exams and get into messes, both emotional and literal. I do try to keep the focus of the story a lot more on the friendships and relationships of those characters rather than anything even vaguely academic, although somewhat inevitably, what with it being about school kids and tech mostly in the school, some of that does happen in passing. I write the stories in a very unprofessional way, and there's very rarely an actual script. It's more a general idea of what might happen in the comic that day, that week, that month, so on. I've got the next chapter all planned out, and it is a big mess of caps lock and italics, and you probably wouldn't want to see it in this form. But yeah, I do try to keep the writing of the chapters fairly episodic, and although there are some plot lines that run through several chapters, most of them, so far at least, I think do make good, relatively good standalone stories, or at least with the last two, a sort of two-parter type thing if you were going to compare it to a TV show. But don't compare it to a TV show, because it is a comic, I guess. to an extent, it is inspired by my own experiences from sixth form, and it would be a lie to say the characters aren't some strange pick and mix of aspects of my friends' personalities and my own ridiculous, neurotic, strange personality. Despite that, I would say it's definitely no more than semi-autobiographical, and it is only very rarely and very loosely related to any real events. The art's all traditional media, inked with ink, coloured with watercolour, and lettered by hand, and sometimes I do live stream that process, and I will post the link to the live stream page on my Twitter, and my comics Facebook page, and my Tumblr, and my Google+, and so on, and pretty much all of those things, there are links on the right-hand side of the comics website, which, if you've already forgotten, is privatestudycomic.co.uk. There's a new chapter starting on Monday, so hopefully that will be a good jumping-on point if you want to give it a go. And the archives are there, or they're categorised by chapter, or by month, or whatever, however you want to read the comic. And there are character profiles to get a quick, rough idea of who you're reading about. And that is all I have to say in this period of time, because I'm not amazing at talking about my own stuff. So hopefully I'll be back in the future talking about comics which aren't mine. Fancy that. See ya.
They had everything. Pens, pencils, rulers, pyjamas, boxer shorts, underwear.
You know, kids who had, growth problems with their legs, those calipers they used to wear on their legs, did they have one of them with M&M printed on it?
Do they still make those?
No, but did they have one of those with M&M?
No, they had a guitar.
I think it can only be current popular.
They had sunglasses, jewellery.
Catheters.
PlayStation 2 controllers?
Possibly, I didn't see them. I don't know.
Vibrators.
Hunting knives.
Yeah, both of those in this children-orientated store.
Actually, vibrators wouldn't make sense. Those love egg things. They'd be perfect.
And they had the yellow M&M. There was a guy in a yellow M&M outfit, which was really quite scary.
Did you want to run up to him and push him?
No, I didn't.
Because I'm always really tempted to do that.
I wish I had. He was very scary. I didn't like it. He came sort of bouncing towards me, and I had to kind of do a scuttle.
Don't you just
around.
Want to push them, though? Just
no,
not
I
just
them.
Bouncing
I
and
just
scuttling.
Wanted
place.
To get away from him.
Yeah. I'm just picturing Jane like. Dr. Zoidberg
yeah.
scuttling around.
So that was interesting. And then...
I love peanut M&M's so much.
You love penis M&M's so much.
Do they have penises with M&M's?
I don't know.
Okay.
M&M
there might
lights.
Have been a curtain dairy. I just didn't find it. What did you... Oh, no, don't. I know what you just said. I had a delay.
Is a fleshlight one of those things that's
yes,
like...
Yes,
yeah, okay.
yeah.
I asked for one of those.
No.
I really do need to explain what I'm doing. The kaleidoscopes, they're kind of like fleshlights, but fun for children.
Just for the listener, Nick looks like he's milling pepper. Near
yeah,
his
no,
face.
Into my I'm milling pepper into my face.
You're milling pepper
no,
into
my
face.
Mouth.
Right, yeah.
But like no, the kaleidoscopes you look in and you move it round and it goes shing yeah. shing shing. But with millions of little instead of little stars, each little piece of glitter would be a little M&M. And just millions of M&Ms.
I don't know if they had
them.
That, but I think you should patent pending that.
Did they have the night sky, but in place of every star there was an M&M?
Again, you should get dibs on that.
This might be the best conversation yeah, I've ever had.
Exactly.
That's a white lie.
I shouldn't have spoken about M&Ms. I was literally going to talk about how crazy it was and yeah. And then, yes, and spent an evening with Nick and his lovely wife, Amy.
It was good fun.
It was good
fun. I suspect that this is slightly more. I mean, we're really amping up the Imaginarium.
I'd like to say as well, for once I was invited, so that was good. I like that. I couldn't make it, but for once you guys did something and invited me as well.
No, didn't we invite you? We wanted to see you at lunchtime. Did we invite you in the evening?
Yeah, you invited us in the evening as well. Yeah, but we were doing.
I don't think I was.
Well, Amy did.
I don't think I was asked.
Yeah, no, Amy did. So I was quite chuffed with that. It's nice, even if we can't make it, it's just nice to be asked.
Did we check with you first that you wouldn't be able to make it?
Spinning orders.
It's like Morecambe and Wise now, isn't it?
Way hey.
It's time to go home. It's time to go home. No, there isn't a special guest.
I'm saying all the right words, not necessarily in the right order.
Mm-hmm. Your turn, isn't it?
Did you finish with your work?
I ate most of a cow on Monday, but we don't need to go into that.
Timothy Swan, he'll break your arm, break your arm, with his bloody great wings.
That's right, it's me, Timothy Swan, hopefully the only man to have ever written and recorded a song about Nick, but you never know, the internet is a strange place. Hopefully, this week's episode will be receiving a nice overthinking it bump. I plugged you guys. I don't know quite yet if the hurricane got in the way of my plug, but there's a link on the site, so hopefully you guys are getting some deserved traffic from that, and that people are tuning in to hear me embarrass myself if nothing else. This week is the DC reboot, so I've sat down and tried to figure out what is the absolute opposite of the DC reboot. So today I'm going to be talking to you about Sinori. Sinori is the first ever graphic novel project that I potentially got involved in, and it never quite got off the ground beyond 6 panels of the story, well, and one that adorns my wall, which is a one-off commission piece. One of my close friends in high school created this particular comic about a average humdrum worker called Reuben Neptune, who struggles with life in the modern day, but doesn't quite have the rebellious spirit in him to fight against the corporate system. He knows that he's an outsider, but he's not quite sure what he's an outsider from. And yes, when, after creating the 6 panels that presently exist, my friend was trying to work on a graphic novel version, I worked with her on some of the potential writing, going through some of the ideas that could then be turned into the opening pages, which would look at a day in the life of depressed Reuben. But it has a really wonderful watercolour/coffee stain art style, a style that I know for certain was inspired by the first ever webcomic I read, well, now approaching 8 or 9 years ago, which was called Bobby Neurotic. I'm not quite sure if it's still on the internet, but it involved a child with OCD who was spoken to by a smiley face that told him all of the neurotic things that he should do. It was very dark, very bitter, quite funny in a rather disturbing way, but you see the inspiration in the sunshine, in writing hidden in the background. Every piece has some hidden writing in. And it's a very apt comic, I think, for our day and age where corporatism and capitalism have caused us so much trouble, gives such a unique portrait of the sense of isolation that goes on. But as far as I know, my friend has no plans to go back to it. It's a very old comic now. It'll probably never be completed, but it exists as this beautiful, sad thing. If you want to see it, go to bit.ly/Sinori. That's C-I-N-O-R-I. And just have a little break from the big two, or even the smallest of small presses. This is tinier, it's more obscure, and it's very sad, but kind of bitterly funny too. Thanks for listening to this special mellow edition of my contribution to the Momcast. Next week, I should be starting my brand new podcast, Psychomedia. That's without a H, PSYCOMEDIA, as in psychology, comedy, media. So look it up on iTunes, or go to psychomedia.wordpress.com. And next Tuesday or Wednesday, we might actually have our first episode. Speak to you guys soon.
I choose to think that M&M is a bit like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. Sorry, you've M&M's. Done your week.
Back to M&M's, is it?
Spinning orders! Well, because I know what you're going to talk about.
Well, it was an exciting week in comics this week.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something that we've known about for a little while, but is no less exciting for all the anticipation that we've spunked on it.
I'm not going to subvert it. I really am going to talk about Flashpoint and Justice League 1. I'm not going to go, oh, it's an exciting weekend.
What else did you get?
Punisher number 2, which has been out a couple of weeks, but I want to talk about it.
I thought it came out this week.
No, FF8.
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 FFF.
bit of balance. Two DC, two Marvel books. Mm. Balance.
Balance.
No indie books. Although The Chronicles of Wormwood, the final part of that came out, which freaked me out. It'd been a very long time since I forgot I'd ever read it, because it's been so long.
Did this floor always creak like this?
Yeah, it did. Flashpoint, okay. Flashpoint 5 of 5. It all changes here, it says on the cover. And, yeah, it does.
In the last issue?
The end of the last issue.
That's quite cool.
The last issue had an awful lot of legwork to do, and frankly, it doesn't really manage to satisfactorily cap what could have been a much more satisfying series. We find out from the Reverse Flash how the DC Universe has changed as much as it has.
Just to clarify for our listener, the Reverse Flash is like the Flash, but he's from the negative version.
Yeah, from the 25th century.
Okay.
He's a bad guy.
Because I don't know who a lot of these people
are. No. And it's obviously the Flash and the Reverse Flash battle against the backdrop of the Atlanteans and the Wonder Woman's...
The Wonder Woman.
The Atlanteans and the Amazons.
Yeah.
Duking it out. And the Flash and Batman have convinced the great and good of the superhero community to join together to battle them.
And they're meeting for the first time, these superheroes.
Not in this book, no. Most of them are aware of each other in this book.
Oh, right, okay.
And we find out how the world became as changed as it did. It's essentially a DC world-altering book, so guess what part the Flash plays in the culmination of the story?
He alters the world.
Possibly. There's some tear-jerking moments at the end.
You say some.
It's two tear-jerking moments.
You cried, didn't you?
My eyes watered at the end with the some interaction with him and a Batman, and I found it quite emotional.
Didn't you?
For reasons I'm not prepared to go into here.
Did you partly find, and I'm not being cynical about this book, but did you partly find that a lot of your reaction to those few panels was because the Batman, Flashpoint Batman series did such a good job of creating the emotional resonance and stuff behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe. And also, obviously, Batman's. I do love Batman, and it was, you know, it was a father son moment as well, which I found quite emotional. But Flashpoint as a whole, the main story probably needed to be about 8 issues, fleshed out a bit more. It was an interesting alternate take on the DCU, I think, in terms of the concept. It felt, I've read this elsewhere, and it's true, it for me felt a little rushed. I wanted to like this, ultimately I wanted to like this more than I actually did.
Okay.
Which is a shame, but never mind.
But could you say that Flashpoint as a whole wasn't a complete whole?
It wasn't a complete whole. I mean, especially with the books that were circulating around the main event, there was some merit in there. There were some interesting stories, and there was an interesting alternate universe that was created. There's some stories that I wasn't picking up that I'd like to read with it. Flashpoint wasn't a complete bag of poop, but the main story was like, you know, when you haven't had a curry for a long time.
Yeah.
And you order a curry and you have your own onion bhajis, and then you have your first go at the main course, and then you sit there and you're all bloated. And you sort of think to yourself, do you know what? That wasn't quite as exciting as I'd made it
I'd
built it up to be something a lot more in my head, and ultimately now I'm just a bit bloated and just feel a bit guilty and empty inside. Not metaphorically empty, spiritually empty, but full of curry.
That's fine, because that sort of you were quite, there was lots of anticipation based around Flashpoint as a book. It was built up like any event book. It was built up. There was lots of
excitement. Flashpoint just sort of kind of came from out of nowhere.
I don't know, wasn't it?
It happened quite quickly. Flashpoint, it was like, oh, we're going to do Flashpoint. Here it is.
Oh, okay, maybe. To the point where I quite build up.
Well, I didn't even really know about it until, like, the second one. Kind of, it wasn't even on my radar until the second one came out. The second one came out on the back of the announcement about the new DC Universe.
Oh, you see. Oh, maybe and it was I'm only then that I tuned into Flashpoint.
I don't think it... Yeah.
Goodbye. Go buy this. This is where it all starts.
Yeah, the new DCU was well advertised, but Flashpoint itself was relatively unheralded when it came out, I think.
It's okay, though, because that sort of sense of deflation and disappointment, it's not going to happen again for a while in comics.
Stop it.
I think I'm going to have to partially agree with Nick on this, because I was picking up the Flashpoint with Wonder Woman. Mm. It was only a three-part issue. I really didn't get on with it. I found, especially the second issue, the cover was quite misleading to what was actually going to happen in the story, which my own fault for not having a thorough look through the comic book. But at the end, I haven't read the third issue. I did buy it because I thought, well, I've bought the first two. I'd like to see how this concludes. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the third issue, it says continued in Flashpoint issue 5. And I'm like, I'm not going to fall into that trap. I just don't enjoy this book enough. It was just, yeah.
Go and read the, yeah.
And it's, I found it confusing. The story was confusing.
Crossovers are going to get you like that.
Yeah.
In events. I enjoyed Wonder Woman and the Furies more than you did. I kind of dug it. But.
Yeah, I think it's also so, because I've only recently got into Wonder Woman and I've really enjoyed what I've read, but it's very different to what's happened in Wonder Woman and the Furies. I mean,
oh, gotcha.
I'm a couple of issues behind, so I need to catch up, but even the delivery, the whole everything is just so, I know it's all supposed to be different, but it's just, it was such a massive change, such a shift that I got really confused. I was like, oh, I don't know. And those bloody Subway comics as well.
Oi, with the Subway comics.
I obviously have only peripherally, I've been listening to you talk about Flashpoint. We had a bit of a conversation, but you explained the story to me earlier on. And the way I'm reading it is, it's as if a character in the DC Universe took the whole DC Universe and distilled it using whatever methods people do in these things into something that they could fit in a syringe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they injected that syringe into their head.
Yeah.
And then the end of the story was them finally going, it's all about to come out, it's all about to come out. And then you've got another book to talk about. So this book is the first part of the result of what happens when a character from the DC Universe, yes.
The ear leakage.
Injects the DC Universe into their own brain cavity.
I don't want to say that.
And it spills back out again.
I think possibly you're being a little bit disingenuous.
And he probably looks like Grant Morrison.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm just trying to spice it up. I'm trying to amp it up. I want this to be good.
Sorry, James, carry on. I will.
You're allowed to follow that train of thought. That's fine.
I was just thinking that although I didn't enjoy Flashpoint, I think I'm going to enjoy what's going to happen next.
Yes.
I'm not dismissing.
You mean the next comics? You don't just mean what's going to happen next on the podcast?
Both. that was one.
Well, what's going to happen at the weekend?
Justice League 1 combo pack, $4.99,
and you get your download with that.
You do, yeah. Jeff Johns, Jim Lee, Scott Williams are the creative team on this book. If you've not heard of it,
so this is the Justice League, yeah.
This is the Justice League, so it's a universe book. The first book out from the new 52 from the rebooted DC Universe. It's set 5 years. In the past, from the new 52's current day. We've got the new DC Universe.
Yeah.
This story starts in flashback.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, okay, now that's fine. Now
not flashpoint.
So,
flashback.
Okay.
So it starts off and it says 5 years ago.
It does say 5 years ago.
So it starts
on
flashback.
And this is 5 years ago. This is a time when superheroes are new. They don't all know each other. Batman is not a friend of the authorities.
No, well, I can imagine that. He wasn't back then.
No, and you'll know if you've read the previews that in the first few pages he's been chased by some SWAT guys, essentially, as he's chasing after this alien and has a interaction with the Green Lantern, who he's not met previously.
Because he's having problems with the authorities. Of course, 5 years ago he would have been wanted for murder.
Murder,
would he? Yeah, Bruce Wayne was wanted for murder. Or no, that was a bit longer ago, maybe.
All right.
Or am
stop
I...
it. Fucking stop it.
No, go on.
Talk about bringing your, what is it, your confirmation
project. No, yeah. I'm doing this solely because stop it's it. Funny.
Okay, there are, the opening scenes involves...
Cool.
Yeah, it looks quite cool. You either are or aren't a Jim Lee fan. It's very much Jim Lee art.
The colour, no, it's all very colourful, though. Yeah. I can't really see the art. Yeah. So.
The art's solid enough. I've said before, I'm not a huge Jim Lee fan, but the art's solid enough. I mean, he hasn't got his reputation by accident, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Stop it.
No, I'm just saying. I'm agreeing with you.
There's some really solid interaction between Batman and the Green Lantern. Some really cute moments as Hal Jordan is interrogating Bruce and asking him what his powers are. And slowly, by method of deduction, works out he hasn't got any.
Green Lantern works it out as
yeah, that Bruce doesn't have any powers at all.
He's like a detective too now.
Yeah. But there's a really cute moment where Bruce basically shows him why he deserves to be as well respected as I'm sure he will become in time.
Does he punch him in the arse? Oh no, he does the thing. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
He does that thing, which is quite cool.
Sometimes I think Hal Jordan should be punched in the arse by Batman though.
So the alien does something mysterious, also featured in this book. The alien does something mysterious that leads us... We basically find out probably who they will be battling in this story. There's got to be a bad guy, hasn't there? So we find out who this bad guy is likely to be.
It doesn't have to be, but superhero comics would be a bit shit without them.
They kind of would.
Yeah.
We meet a young man called Vic Stone, who at this point is a high school footballer.
American footballer.
Whose father has a keen interest in superheroes. They happen to see Batman and Green Lantern travelling to Metropolis because they want to meet this strange alien that apparently has been doing things in Metropolis, right. who is Superman.
Vic Stone is just a normal kid, yeah?
He is.
A normal American footballer
kid. Who will become Cyborg eventually. Yeah. I don't think it's spoiler or anything.
Oh, he's black.
He is. He's a black chap, yes. He's a black youngster. So, I mean, this book is nothing if not diverse. It's got an alien, a green, and an American.
A green. Yeah. And a white American. And a white American. A black American.
Yeah, which is good. And they travel to Monopolis.
Monopolis?
Monopolis.
Wow, they're really going out on the limb.
To Metropolis, where the book ends. It didn't blow my brains out. There's a lot of leg.
It's not a hooker.
No, there's
a comic.
There's a lot of legwork. Admittedly, a lot of story legwork, I guess, for it to do. It's action packed. There's some really wry, snappy dialogue, especially between Batman and the Green Lantern.
Gotcha.
I think Batman's voice is pretty strong and well written. Hal Jordan.
Is it like do Batman's voice?
You guys are fine guys.
That's pretty strong.
I'm going to draw you a Robin.
Sounds like you're on a respirator.
Thank you. I don't want to shit on the book, to be honest, because I didn't hate it.
No,
but I didn't love it, and I don't know if that's a problem. I think I wanted it to be more mind-blowing than it has been. However, having said that, I was picking up Justice League some months ago. Mm. I think it's an improvement in quality compared to maybe some of the stories that have been told in Justice League a few months ago. I'm not wishing to be too negative about the creators who are working on that. I just thought it was a team. There were too many B-listers in what's meant to be the main team book in the DCU. I think for me, Justice League needs to have the big hitters in it to make it.
So the best, I personally think, the best era that I've read of Justice League was when Batman was the biggest hitter in it.
Yeah.
Like the Giffen and DeMatteis run in was it early 90s? But, I think they've just done it.
You need at least one of the Trinity in it. And recently, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, none of them were in the Justice League. No. And it's kind of, Well, you know, this is the Justice League Universe book. It's like, give me at least one of them.
That was weird gimmick. It was like a deliberate thing, wasn't it, that they didn't have them in there. But they did, but I think those were the books that really brought John Johns into the fore with them and stuff like that.
And I know, great story. You don't have to have the Trinity in a book for it to be a great story. It's just, in this book, I think you do. Apparently sold very well in the comic book shop we went to.
Yeah. Jeff Johns and Jim Lee are very popular.
Absolutely, yeah. And we were talking to James, and he said there were a lot of new faces in the comic book shop. They were buying books other than DC and Marvel books as well. Mm. They had a lot of new standing orders set up. Let's hope that is a trend that continues, and the books that are starting to come out next week, where there's a bit more diversity in terms of the types of stories that are being told, let's hope that it is a change that brings more people into comics.
Yes.
That would be very nice indeed.
And then eventually September will be over and
yeah,
the comic people will move on and talk about something else.
And Green Day will bring out a new song.
Absolutely.
Will Green Day be bringing out a new song in October?
No. The song when September ends.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm too old.
Yeah, so am I.
I tiptoed
around that. I think it's fair to say I would have liked that to have been better than it was, but it was okay.
It's fine. It only needs to be.
Is that damning with faint praise?
It only needs to be okay. Good. It just needs to not be completely shit.
I'll tell you what I really did like.
That's all it needs to be. What did you really like?
The Punisher by Greg Rucka.
Is that a DC book?
No, it's a Marvel book, and Marco Cicchetto. I think John spoke about it very briefly last week, isn't it? It's a really fresh, it's a lovely, refreshing reboot of the Punisher legend. He's been made younger, he's been made a more mysterious character. Gone is the inner monologue that we've seen before. All of this I said when I reviewed it last time.
Hmm. It's a sign that we don't have to, that this focus on continuity that like stifles fandom, really, and comics. It's entirely artificial because they didn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother you every time you read it that he's not like Frankencastle, does it?
No, and it's very much within the mainstream Marvel universe as well. There are characters that you recognise and larger than life characters that you recognise from the Marvel universe that don't jar with the Punisher.
Yeah.
I've often found this one of the problems is he's such a serious, grounded character that some of the more fantastic elements of the Marvel Universe can jar with that a little bit. There are some fantastical elements that are brought into this book. Didn't feel like it jarred at all. It's still a very gritty story. It's basically he's left one guy alive from this smackdown that he engaged in the last issue.
Yes.
Basically, he's allowing the guy he's following around to various gang hideouts to let him. So he basically shows the Punisher where it is, and he's doing it unwittingly the whole time. The Punisher's like this shadowy figure that's following him about. We also get to see, as I say, some characters that are more familiar from the Marvel Universe, and we get to follow the police characters from the last one a little bit as well. It's lovely, really good book, really enjoy it.
I think I've got it.
Fantastic, fresh new take on The Punisher. But I think we always suspected that Greg Rucka's
awesome.
Was going to do an awesome job on this, and it feels like he is. Really, really enjoying that book. And that's two really good reboots Marvel have got at the moment. Daredevil's lovely still, you guys will probably talk about that in a moment. And Punisher's excellent. Another Marvel book that's been rebooted recently is FF. Previously, the Fantastic Four, although Fantastic Four is coming back for issue 600, and then there will be Fantastic Four and FF being published simultaneously. So,
what?
Well, a more cynical review I heard of this is someone suggesting Marvel are having their cake and eating it.
Maybe.
But FF,
there's definitely some cake.
FF has clearly reinvigorated the Fantastic Four franchise, if you like.
Hmm.
Jonathan Hickman continues to do a fantastic job blowing my fucking brains apart every single month, where I don't really understand what's happening, but I kind of follow what's happening, and I enjoy it, and I'm baffled by it in equal measure. I know that Inhumans have turned up with Black Bolt on the moon, and I know that Val has accidentally left let the remaining alternate Reed Richards through from other universes, and they want to get the real Reed Richards, and Reed Richards has employed the services of all of his enemies to take down the Reed Richardses that have come through from the other universes, and the Inhumans are probably going to have something to do with it.
So that's FF by Carl Sagan and Steve
And then
you had that look on your face.
He looks like you're a bit sort of part cyborg then. That was a bit weird.
But then you have all this, and I think what I'm really starting to love about the Fantastic Four, and maybe what I'm getting about it, is you have this mind-blowing, out-of-this-world, multi-dimensional, mighty universe, science, doohickey stuff thrown at you. And then you get the lovely, grounded family stuff.
It's a family book.
It is.
It's a comic book about a family.
And I really like the way that Jonathan Hickman handles that massive, massive concepts, you know, these sort of crazy ideas that he has. And then you have the interaction between the two kids and the interaction between Reed, his dad, and, oh God, why can't I remember Sue's name? Sue. And it's lovely. It's like I say, it's a book, and I've said before when I've talked about FF, because I've got so little history, not only with FF, but kind of like Marvel in general. I often get confused and have to do a bit of Wikipedia, and I'm really enjoying FF. It's a lovely comic book. It's sort of epic, yet tiny at the same time.
That's the combination you have to get with Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
I sometimes think I quite enjoyed Ultimate Fantastic Four with Warren. I think Warren Ellis did some of it. Mark Millar did some of it, but it was a bit too cool.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not. They aren't together because they club together because they're all heavy hitters. Yeah. They're a family that happen to be adventurers as well, and that's kind of quite important.
Yeah. It's great.
Mm.
Really enjoy it. I'd love to hear actually it from people who have read Fantastic Four for a while, because I haven't read that many reviews of it, but I think it's a really lovely book.
I found
a lot of Wallop's dog too.
Wallop, he's good. Mm. While I've been sorting through my comics, I found the Walt Simonson run on it, and I keep meaning to read through them again. I've got a few runs of Fantastic Four somewhere, but it's when it's good, it's a really good book. But it isn't. I think that if the traditional mainstream comic book market is mainly excitable teenage boys, then that might be why Fantastic Four's never been the top most selling book ever, because it kind of requires that you understand a bit about the family dynamic, about, you know, when Mr. Fantastic and Sue Storm when Reed Richards and Sue Richards have a major fight, it's normally, or like a breakup or whatever, it's normally about something quite normally marriagey, rather than you know, this fake drama that you get in so many other things. Thank you for that, Jeff.
So I took ages to talk about my comics.
I'm so glad that you're still enjoying FFF.
I am too.
I keep saying FFF because that's the Fast Show thing. I don't know if anyone's really, it keeps occurring to me.
Chris Waddle.
Yes, Chris Waddle.
Matt Dyson. Hey, Momcast listeners, I'm Matt, and I have a confession to make. I have never, ever read a DC comic. Yes, I know it's shocking. I was always one of the merry Marvel marching band people. I grew up on things like Spider-Man and the like. And quite frankly, I never really read much past it. I've read a lot of independent stuff, and I'm very heavily into webcomics. I actually draw a webcomic myself. But I never really got into DC. I used to think Superman was a bit stupid when I was a little. I never really liked the concept of, why is he super? Because he's an alien. I just thought it was a bit weak. So I never actually got into reading any of the DC stuff. I always kind of liked Batman because, hey, the films were cool when I was growing up. Well, some of them were anyway. But I couldn't find the jumping on point. And anyway, along comes the jumping on point. The DC reboot started this week. Yes, yesterday, boys and girls, I turned the brand new wonderful, joyous age of 28, and on my birthday, it just so happened that DC gave me a little present. On Comixology on my iPad, I was able to download the Justice League of America issue 1. Seems to be a brand new, complete and utter reboot. I know possibly all of you already know this, but it's brand new to me. I thought I'd try it out from ground level. Yeah, the entire thing's starting again, and it's refreshing. It's a nice place to jump on. I'm introduced to a character that I do know a fair bit about from movies and talking to friends about it, which is Batman. And I'm also introduced to the Green Lantern, which I hardly know anything about whatsoever. And it looks like this is going to be a several issue arc where we're reintroducing everybody again. But it also looks like the world's being introduced to superheroes again, or rather the world of the comics. Because in the way the storyline's going, nobody really knows that much about superheroes. They seem to be a brand new thing within the world, and people don't know quite what to think of them. The authorities seem to be against them, and nobody really knows who everybody is. It's quite interesting. I must admit, I did enjoy the first book. I'm looking forward to reading the second one. The first one really introduces us, as I mentioned, to Batman and the Green Lantern. And right at the end of the book, we get to see the first glances of the new Superman. Everybody seems a bit younger than I'm guessing they have been in the past. I'm not too sure about Batman. He's always seemed a little bit older to me, but I don't know. As again, I don't really know the comics too well. But yeah, I'm liking it so far. I'm quite liking the art style. I'm liking the look of the slightly newer costumes from what I'm used to seeing in the general comics press in the past, and I'm looking forward to it. I do intend on picking up a few of the new issues next week when the great big flood of new issues comes out, and I might do another recording then and tell you what I'm thinking. But for the moment, I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to meeting the other members of the JLA and hopefully having it introduced to me from a level where I can actually get in and start reading it. So yeah, anyway, that's me. Speak to you all next week. Bye!
I got a bunch of comics yesterday. I haven't had a chance to read most of them. Worth mentioning, though, Journey into Mystery 626.1, I've heard people say is very good. I think Max mentioned that it was very good. I haven't read Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Island Part 2, or Mystery Men. Oh, and there's The Punisher and New Mutants Fear Itself. I didn't get massively excited about my comics this week. But then maybe I'm just still a bit tired. I want to mention that I read League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1969. Finally got round to reading it, because I've had it for like a couple of weeks.
Lots of nudies?
Yeah, I kind of think that in this particular case, Alan Moore was doing better work when... I think editors should trust his instincts, but having them there keeps him on point a little bit.
Mm.
The last two League of Extraordinary Gentlemen books, although they are like big volumes and they're part of a story that's ongoing, that comes out sporadically, so it's quite difficult to read in that way. The references to stuff that was going on at the time and to other characters in the first two volumes was kind of ambient. It didn't intrude that much on the main mm-hmm. story. But there have been points in these last two volumes where I really thought, well, I shouldn't need to go away and look up what you're mm-hmm. referring to really understand why these three pages are here. Sort of thing. There's a few moments where there's so much reference that I know is referring to like pop culture that I'm supposed to be getting, and that didn't happen in the first two volumes so much. Or if it did, maybe I was just more familiar with the pop culture, so it didn't bother me. And there, I'm interested in the idea of like these really intense. It's what I was saying about fake drama a second ago. Mm-hmm. This idea of intense. It's the girlfriend in the fridge thing that DC keeps getting. DC keeps getting criticised for, but also is true of Marvel and DC, and it's always seen as a way that female characters are portrayed, that like their only motivator is, their only motivator ever is either rape or abuse or something. And
yeah.
And I actually think it points as much to a really, really lazy motivation in, like, really lazy writing just across the board. It's just kind of worse because a lot of the comics are written by men and they really don't know how to motivate a female character or motivate a male character using a female character. So a lot of this stuff's always in broad strokes. But there is some stuff in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen that made me think, well, like, there's really no need for this stuff that's going on in the background. You're just doing this because nobody's there to tell you not to do this sort of thing. And I didn't really see the value in some of it.
Fair enough.
So, but anyway, that's, if you've read it, you probably know what I mean. And if you haven't read it, you probably just wish I'd stopped talking about it. Right. Last Mortal, number 4, I believe it's the last, issue of this mini series. But if not, it's certainly the end of this first introductory sort of season, if you want to call it that, by John Mahoney, Philip Sablik and Thomas Natchlik. It's black and white, kind of crime, kind of political intrigue story. But also at the middle of it is a grifter who finds that he can't die. And there's clearly something else going on. This arc finishes without certain parts of the story resolved, but he does realise... he doesn't realise why he is how he is, but he realises that he comes to some resolution about his life, if not his peculiar condition, which is quite interesting. It's a really good 4-issue run. This has been a really good 4-issue run. If this comes out as a book, it'll be quite a slim book, but it'll probably be worth buying if it's not too expensive. Really nice black and white art in there. And the writing really kind of hits its stride in this issue. It's, there were bits in the first issue where I kind of felt like they were trying harder than they needed to. By this point, it's a fairly slick read. It's really nice, sort of nice crimey drama, crime of supernatural.
I remember you talking about this, it's a story that's been many years in the making now, isn't it? If I remember rightly, from the back matter you were talking
about. Yes, yeah, that was Last Mortal. Also, Witch Doctor has been around for a while, but this one, since they were kids, since the two of the main people grew up, like, or met each other or something years ago. Also, frustratingly, quite similar to an idea I've had percolating in the back of my head for a while, so, but you know, hell, I wasn't going to write that. If I was going to, I would have done by now, wouldn't I?
That's true. You've had 1,000 brilliant ideas.
Thank you. The Mighty Thor, number 5, Matt Fraction, Oliver Coypiel, and other people. It's continuing this story about Odin versus Galactus. It's very epic, very exciting, and the local normal people in Broxton get involved. I think there was a guy called Pastor Mike who I was quite interested in when he turned up in the first issue of this run. I think he's going to come into his own in the next issue. I'm mentioning it mainly because it's one of the ongoing books that I got that I actually read this week. Really nice cover that doesn't feature anything too sort of...
That is good, I like that.
It's like a really nice, interesting cover that probably isn't going to grab most people's attention because it's just a nice piece of design without a really strong, like, central muscular man or boobied lady. But it's just nice, I like it. Olivier Coypiel. I can't pronounce his name. But his art on this book has been lovely. Matt Fraction's been doing a perfectly good job, but it's the art in this book that's really making it at the moment. So that's good. And I am quite intrigued by what they're doing with the Spider Island crossover in terms of the art direction they've got going on. Because I picked up Spider Island Deadly Hands of Kung Fu mainly because Anthony Johnston's writing it, and it's a three-parter. Mm. And I really like the Cloak and Dagger Spider Island crossover they've done. Certainly the first issue of it, because it doesn't really... Spider Island's going on in the background, but it's not... like, the story itself is very self-contained. This isn't quite so self-contained, but one thing that's interesting is normally when either of the main two companies do a crossover, they either nail the design the trade dress design, or they don't. But by the end of the thing, you are sick of seeing it. Like, alongside the Green Lantern thing, there were all of the Flashpoint banners on everything, and everything's got that Fear Itself banner that makes everything kind of blur into one. Yeah. The Spider Island one's interesting because they've got the they're kind of using the same font, which is a pretty non-invasive. It's a big font, but pretty non-invasive for actual Spider Island itself.
Kind of blends in to the cover. It's not like, oh, why is that all over that?
Yeah. And the thing I was thinking when I saw Deadly Hands of Kung Fu was, well, there's just, I'm not the, it just looks like a normal, it looks like that's the logo for this book, and it happens to say Spider Island in big letters. Actually, it's exactly the same font as it is on The Amazing Spider-Man 668, but it kind of, they're using it, they're incorporating, the logo is the trade, is the unifying design,
yeah.
And they're using it in different ways in different places, and I think that's really, that's kind of how you should do it,
because yeah.
It makes each book not just look like it's morphing into the rest of it. It's a pretty cool kung fu-y story. Shang-Chi, who is already the master of kung fu in the Marvel Universe, but very humble with it. I really like him, the way he's written here, certainly. And I believe he's been training Spider-Man to deal with the fact that he's lost his spider sense in the other books, so he's been turning up a little bit anyway. He's also been infected with spider powers, so he's doing his martial arts throughout this comic, but also he's like, he's never had superpowers before, so he's doing it all with the spider powers.
He must be loving that.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. There's an appearance of Iron Fist features quite prominently in this, and I think basically the martial arts characters in this book is going to be very much about the Marvel, the martial arts characters in the Marvel universe, who have kind of had their own little, not sub-universe, but they've had their own, I think it's the Immortal Weapons. I never read the Immortal Weapons series that came out a little while ago. But they've been developed quite a lot as a thing in the Marvel Universe, which is kind of good. There's lots of cool kung fu bits. There's a bit of supernatural stuff to it, but it's much more supernatural than superhero-y, the way the Spider Island stuff is. Because really, the idea that someone's distilled Spider-Man's powers to using Spider-Man's genetic structure to infect people with the powers is kind of a bit of a fudge. It's a story element that works, but it pretends to be scientific, but it's really just a MacGuffin. Whereas this has quite a nice supernatural edge to it that kind of ties into sort of the Asian horror type thing. It all looks pretty cool. And it's the art's by Sebastian Fiumara, who I'm sure I've seen his art before, even though I can't apparently say the name, with inks by John Lucas and colour by Dan Brown. It's worth mentioning all of them, not the author, I don't think. It's worth mentioning all of them because the art has a real sort of kind of painterly look to it. It's kind of, it reminds me a bit of Gene Colan's work. Colon. Okay. I found out today that I pronounce the word virginal completely wrong.
Really?
Yeah, because whenever I say the word virginal, I always have to be careful because the way I've always said it is, I can't even do it now.
Yeah.
Basically, I say it and it sounds a lot like vaginal. And it never occurred to me that it's just a completely different word. It isn't like a word that sounds a bit like vaginal.
Mm.
It's not vaginal. It's virginal. But then because I don't say virgin, I say no, I do, don't I? I don't know what the fuck's going on. But anyway, so, looks
you
a bit like Gene
Colan.
Gene Colan. It's beautiful art, really nice writing. I'm going to enjoy this 3-issue series, I think.
Cool.
And I don't think you really have to. This is a bit more steeped in Spider Island than the Cloak and Dagger book is, but I don't think you really need to be reading it to enjoy it. So that's good.
Excellent.
They're really doing the Spider-Man books right at the moment, Marvel are.
Good.
Anyway, so.
I'd like to read them, but I just think it's a bit too
Marvel-y.
No, it's just, even to the point where I've had a conversation with John and sort of, you know, I think I've said before, I really want to get into Spider-Man, but he's one that I feel is a bit too mired in content. I just feel I'd be constantly on Wikipedia working out who everyone was.
No, it's been really fun recently. Really? I mean, I haven't been, I haven't known. I mean, most of the versions of the characters are not. Most of the versions of legacy characters are not ones that I recognise. Yeah. But I'm coping with it.
Hey, my name's Vanessa. I write a blog called Nightmares and Boners, which is surprisingly located at nightmaresandboners.com. But I'm not really here to talk about that. I'm mostly here to talk about comics. It's kind of weird being into comics as a girl because a lot of people don't expect you to be into it. If they do, they expect you to mainly be into shit like Blankets or, I don't know, Adrian Tamine, something like that. I never figured that one out. But not that that stuff isn't good. I mean, Blankets is nice and everything, and Love and Rockets is really good. But when you're not into stuff like that, it really surprises people. And I've found that it's both offensive and fucking annoying. More than offensive, just annoying. I remember meeting a guy in a bar once and taking him home and waking up the next morning to find him leaning over my bookshelf and taking out all my copies of Chris Ware's Acme Novelty Library. And the first thing he said to me was, "Are these yours?" "It's in my bedroom. Are these yours?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Do they belong to you?" "Yes." "Have you read them?" "Yes." And this kind of went on and on. And it, I mean, A, he's a dick, obviously, but he just couldn't get it into his head that I would be reading something. I'm so sorry about the dog. He couldn't get it into his head that I would be reading something like that. And I was so offended. We didn't see each other again, needless to say, but that really is the main reaction of people when you say that you like comics if you're a girl, especially if you don't look like a stereotypical comics reader. And I mean, the thing is, most people who read comics, most boys don't look like Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory. I mean, a lot of them do, but most don't. And if you don't look like female Sheldon, even if they don't look like Sheldon, they're surprised that you like it. I have been into comic shops asking to reserve things or where things are, and I've been asked if maybe my boyfriend would like to come and ask himself, or maybe my boyfriend, you know, not that I'm with a boyfriend, but maybe my boyfriend would like to reserve this in his name. And it just makes you feel like you're in the 50s, just really fucked up. And like, it really put me off going to comic book shops for a long time. I didn't bother trying to find out new stuff because I knew that if I went in somewhere, I wouldn't know where to find it and no one would be able to help me. And so for a long time, I just read graphic novel kind of versions of comics, which is really limiting because you're just waiting for the rest of the world to say something is good and therefore publishable by Fantagraphics or whoever. So it did limit me. I did exhaust the Clowes back catalogue and definitely read more Robert Crumb than is really necessary. But I grew some balls, for want of a better phrase, and I started just going into comic book shops, sifting through the new releases section and just picking up shit that I liked, that I was interested in, that caught my eye. And I would like to say that people have got better in comic book shops. They have and they haven't. I mean, in the bigger ones, bigger chains, wink, wink, big chain, name two words, not gonna give you more of a hint than that. They haven't got any better. They're still condescending. They still point you to the Hello Kitty sweets on the counter when you go to pay. But I think it's less the attitude in the shops, because people who work in shops are always shitty and rude no matter where you go. I think more the thing that I wish that would change, if I have to give this a moral rather than just being a long rambly thing about how everyone in comic book shops, certain comic book shops, are mean. I think the one thing I wish would change is that just people wouldn't be dicks. People would respect you for liking stuff, regardless of you being a woman, whether you look like Sheldona or not. Which is weird. It feels like sometimes when you meet people who like comic books, they're 10 years behind. And that more women would make comics that aren't really sucky and boring and about their douchebag relationships or their cats. There are loads of people doing that, but I wish that they were the majority and not the minority. I'm probably going to get loads of shit for this. But anyway, that segs beautifully into what I'm doing at the moment, whereas I'm being part of the solution as opposed to just part of the problem. I'm actually making a comic book with a good friend of mine. It's called Deal With It. Our website is dealwithitcomics.com. And it isn't going to be about cats. It may sometimes be about my douchebag boyfriend, if I have a douchebag boyfriend at the time. But hopefully this means now when I go into Forbidden Planet, they won't treat me like a dick anymore. It's not going to happen, but I can dream, right?
News ambush!
What do you call a man who writes down all of the news that you're going to talk about in a podcast and then leaves the little book that they've written it down in at work?
You call that person James.
Hi, news ambush time.
Mm.
These are things that have... first of all, I did ask for news, and the guys from Raynard City told me that they've updated RaynardCity.com with a new story, and if you want to catch up with them, they are at the Norcon. It's a Norwich sci-fi convention.
Norwich. Same with Alan Partridge.
On September the 11th. So
that wasn't... Sorry.
If you want to catch up with the guys from RaynardCity.com, updated the website, and they are at Norcon on the 11th of September.
That was your Alan Partridge impersonation.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Aha!
Sorry, what should it be?
You did aha. I think you
went, ah!
I don't think you defined it.
That's such a shame, because normally my...
impersonations are brilliant.
They're usually nailed on, aren't they?
I know.
They might be... it's not really connected. No. But they might be Giants. I did not know They Might Be Giants released their album Mink Car on September 11th, 2001. There's a charity cover album of it available online. You should search for it, Mink Car cover album, for all of the servicemen and women... not the servicemen and women, the fire engine people in... London, no, in New York, to commemorate, and not the fire, not just the fire engine, and the policemen, and ladies, and the ambulance persons.
Okay, she should do that. It's a very good cause.
I think that's what it's for. Anyway, it might be for something else.
Cheers for that, though. Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
You wanted to say fucking much.
I don't know really what to say. That was such a serious point. I don't really know which bit to talk about.
I want to touch your head.
Won't be such a horrible juxtaposition. Do you know Twitter?
Is it? No, what's that?
Do you know
that?
Twitter? It's a social networking site where you communicate with other human beings, but you're restricted to 140 characters or less in any one message.
That sounds brilliant. I'm going to go on there now.
Rob Liefeld and Tom Brevoort are both on Twitter, and they had a right old ding-dong. Which was quite funny. It's quite funny watching two sort of reasonably big hitters in the comic book industry basically having a right old hissy fit at each other. Rob Liefeld questioning Tom Brevoort's attitude towards soliciting books that with pages that he'd submitted to him. And Tom going, oh, hold on, Rob, you know, you hadn't submitted all of them, and you know how this works. And Rob going, no, rubbish, you solicit stuff all the time, you haven't got all the pages. And Tom going, yeah, but Rob, you know... all your pages, you know.
Is he being tactful?
Submit you. It got a little bit weird towards the end. It's on Bleeding Cool. If you go back a few days on Bleeding Cool, there's a transcription of there. It's quite amusing at the end where Robert Kirkman comes in and reminds them both they're in quite a public forum, and probably, although Rob makes some good points, he says, you're doing this in quite a public forum. So it's kind of like Rob Liefeld's drunken stiletto girlfriend going, Rob, leave it, he's not worth it, at the end of the...
Does Tom Brevoort at any point say, you see, I'm pretending that this is all spontaneous, but we already had this conversation.
We've rehearsed this.
Does Tom Brevoort at any point say, well, you know, other normal artists who sometimes finish books, those will solicit in advance before we've got the art.
Yeah.
But you, Rob, have used up any state of grace that you might once have had with hundreds and hundreds of unshipped, well, several dozens of unshipped books?
No, he's never quite that explicit.
Maybe he doesn't think it's professional to call someone. You'd think Rob Liefeld would know that, though. He's not delusional, is he?
2000 AD. Next week is Prog 1750. If you're not picking up 2000 AD, 1750 provides an ideal jumping on point.
It was a very good year, 1750.
It was a very good year, 1750. 2000 AD, recommend it highly. If you buy it for nothing other than Rob Williams and Disraeli's excellent Low Life, I wouldn't really have a problem with that. New story starts in 1750.
So
I've seen some previews. It looks lovely.
You have to make the most of it as well, because Rob Williams is mostly exclusive, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. But everything he does in 2000 AD is made of awesome. Jambo!
Yay,
Jambo!
Jambo updates every week at jambo.notregret.com. George is back drawthroughing it after having guests on it for the past 6 weeks or so. Go and look at Jambo. It is awesome. And then commission some art off George as well, because he's awesome too. Talking of creators, Brian Wood.
I like him.
I like him too. I think we very much enjoy his Vertigo output. How much longer that'll be lasting, I don't know, because it looks like he's off to Marvel. And it looks like he's going to be working on a Wolverine title.
Yeah, I think I heard about that, but that's good news.
So nothing's confirmed, but we do know he's going to Marvel. Looks like it's going to be a Wolverine book. That will definitely be an X-Universe book that I pick up. Brian Wood is fucking awesome. I assume, though, he's probably going to be working very little for DC Vertigo, if at all.
Don't know.
It all seems
a bit weird, doesn't it?
Seems to be the way it goes. If DC have let Brian Wood slip through their fingers, then that's very silly indeed.
I'd just like to apologise to the listener. 1750 apparently wasn't that good a year.
Really? What happened?
I really was hoping I'd be able to drop some interesting stuff in, but it was very...
Any notable events?
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides takes place in this year. That's very bottom of the Wikipedia page. And then a bunch of, like, semi-famous historians and people like that.
Who was the King of England in that year?
It doesn't say.
Was there a plague in that year?
It was probably a George or a Charles.
Did everyone have syphilis in that year?
A fire in Istanbul destroyed 10,000 homes. Istanbul was on fire a lot. A small earthquake hits Warrington, England.
Really?
Yeah, but I think it was probably mostly huts made of shit and wheat back then.
When was this, last year?
And in May, riots break out in Paris, fueled by rumours of police abducting children. That's pretty fucking cool, actually.
No, it's not.
In a horrible way.
It's pretty horrible.
Why would police be abducting children? Grow them into their own... Fucking hell.
I think we... Yeah.
July to December, a small earthquake hit Spalding, Lincolnshire. A few of their huts made of shit and... with straw.
I was having a conversation with a particularly paranoid friend of mine who was convinced that the earthquake that happened in the south of England that we didn't hear about, that barely registered on the Richter scale, was some sort of conspiracy. Because earthquakes never happen in England. Yeah, they happen all the time. You know about plate tectonics, mate. You know,
September 30th, a small earthquake hits Northampton. It was a hell of a year.
We should leave 1750 in the past.
Last thing is a website I've become obsessed with. Partially because I really love the work of Sarah Glidden. I love her political cartoons. I think they're fantastic. You can read some of her work for free, as well as other political comicers and cartoonists on comicmovement.com, which is essentially a web home for what they say is intelligent political comicking and cartooning. It is excellent. I really like it. I've been going there every lunchtime to read it. There's some really interesting stuff. A travel log. I forget the name of the guy who's done it. Some travel log cartoons of a trip this guy's taken around Afghanistan, chronicling some of like the human stories that happened away from the armies that you often get to hear about over there, you know, the troops serving over there. It's very much a travel diary highlighting what it's like to actually live as an Afghan citizen at the moment. It's not massively happy reading, but it's really nicely done. Really cool site.
When you've eventually finished doing Tintin books, you can get back to spotlighting stuff like that. If you want.
Political books.
But you're not allowed to until you finish all of the Tintin books.
I won't.
Them's the rule.
Is he doing Asterix afterwards?
No, I'm not. I've had enough time glossing over the racism in Tintin. Asterix will blow my mind. Yeah, well, this guy just happens to have very large lips. I'm not saying the depictions of African people.
Jagger?
I might do some Asterix eventually, but not immediately after Tintin. I think as I said before, as a kid, I liked Asterix more than I did Tintin.
Yes. I should have gone straight to the events bit, because loads of stuff happened in 1750. It just wasn't, nobody interesting was born then.
Why don't you put some of that information in the show notes?
There was another Twitter thing. Was that this week? Maybe it wasn't a Twitter thing. Marko Jurdovic, the guy who does loads of the cover paintings.
Okay.
We've put quite a few of them on Tumblr for Marvel. Apparently at a convention, I think maybe with John Hickman and someone else on the panel about like team spirit and working for Marvel, apparently started being a little bit scathing about the way Marvel handles freelance as a graphic artist, the way they handle that stuff. And I get the feeling his comments were a little bit explicit, like going into detail.
Yeah.
But the people who were present sort of said, well, I mean, it was, you know, it was a bit sarcastic, but generally just like forthright. But it caused quite a stir online, I think. People got a bit sort of...
It's not like people online to get stroppy.
Seems a bit weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's an amazing artist, so I'm sure... I probably said his name completely wrong. He's an amazing artist, so I'm sure that he'll still keep working.
I'm going to start with the obvious question, really, for the people that haven't read it. What is Sugar Glider actually about, and does it have anything to do with marsupials?
Sugar Glider is a coming of age costume crime fighter comic based in Newcastle upon Tyne. It has something to do with marsupials in that the Sugar Glider costume is inspired by obviously the animal Sugar Glider, but most people don't know what a Sugar Glider is. Indeed, when we first started working on the comic, I didn't know what a Sugar Glider was, because Gary came up with the initial kind of idea. And then I started developing, and then we'd like developing it together. So it wasn't until a little while in that I kind of worked out that it was an animal,
and not just a random collection of two words. The genesis of the idea came from my wife's a massive animal fan, really, and we just kind of happened upon. A load of information about sugar gliders as pets, and we thought, well, what are these? And they're like the cutest little rodent-y marsupial-y thing in the world, and it kind of lended itself really well to a kind of superhero costume, and so the idea kind of fused into a drawing in my sketchbook, and Daniel said, let's make a comic.
At the time, I hadn't had any kind of successful kind of long-term collaborations or anything. I was just trying to start writing comics, and every time I'd think of an idea and tell an artist about it. They didn't seem that kind of up for it. It always seemed that every artist had their own ideas that they wanted to go and develop themselves. So I'd kind of got the idea that if I tried to work on the ideas that artists already had, that there might be more up for it. So when Gary had this kind of great design for a superhero, which kind of looks a bit different to what Sugar Guy looks like now, I kind of jumped on board and said, let's do this as a comic.
I was going to say, because when I first looked, I put the name Sugar Glider into Google, having sort of like read the first issue. And at first, I had to type in Sugar Glider comics. The first thing I got was why you shouldn't own Sugar Gliders as pets.
Yep.
And about 20 YouTube videos. And I was just like, they're so small and cute.
That's the first thing. When people talk to me about it, they always say, oh, I want a Sugar Glider, I want a Sugar Glider. And I say, if you type Sugar Glider into Google, that's what you'll find. 10 reasons why not to own a Sugar Glider.
You'll find a video of a girl standing with one saying it will urinate on your arm and then it urinates on her arm. And then she goes, see, I told you.
That's a very specialist video, though.
Different thing.
If you type it into Twitter, not that we do this all the time, if you type it into Twitter, there's a few things that come up. One is the ultimate care guide for sugar gliders. And the other things that come up are, what is a sugar glider?
And I want a sugar glider.
My sugar glider bit me. And will someone take away my sugar glider?
Is it time for Jane's Spotlight?
I think it's time for Jane's Spotlight.
It's Jane's delayed spotlight. This was the books I was going to spotlight when I couldn't Skype in when I was poorly. Oh. So these were
developing your poo-based superpowers.
Yes, that. Yeah. And I can freeze poo in people, so that pleases me a bit too much than it should. Yeah. But yeah. That makes it a more worthwhile power.
Please. Not while we're doing the podcast. It hurts so much.
So, yes, I was developing poo-based superpowers that I could freeze while being sicky as well and needed cheering up. So I picked up a couple of really cute comics. I picked up some conventions. They're also webcomics as well. They have a couple of things in common. Commoner?
In commoner.
In commoner.
Commoner.
Commoner, it's new common.
That's like a mix between a comma and a...
An omelette.
It's an omelette, but with punctuation in it instead of
cheese.
Go on, Jane.
Okay. the two books I picked up. What am I talking about? Sorry, I'm just too busy thinking about commoner now. I want that word in my life. Yes, I was feeling poorly, so I needed some cheering up, and these two comics are both webcomics and they're both cute, but very different.
But only one of them is drawthed by someone whose birthday it is today.
Yesterday. And that is Mu and Kyo, which is by Matt Dyson, who is Keon on Twitter, if anyone wants to follow
him. Birthday for yesterday.
Yes, happy birthday for yesterday, Matt.
Today's the 1st of September, by the way.
Oh, it's first day of autumn. It's autumn now.
September. Kiss my ass.
Yeah, this is a webcomic, and Matt's been printing them together for conventions. I really enjoy webcomics, but I find it, there are quite a few that I read, and I find it quite hard to keep up with them, and they just, my schedule is so erratic that finding a regular time, as you would do to read comics, to read an online comic, it gets increasingly hard, so I haven't been as up to date with Moon Key as I wanted to be, but I do have the first three books are excellent. I did read most of this online, and then the rest of the books. I'm just lost. I had a point and I lost it because we were talking about.
I think
Comlots.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say for a lot of us, like webcomics, I read a lot of webcomics during my lunch break, and the way your job is, you don't get regular lunch breaks that you can schedule. Yeah. Reading and stuff, do you? So.
No, which is a shame, because there's just so many great things out there, like Mu and Kyo, which you just want to keep up to date, but you just sometimes it's hard. So I love the fact that Matt has printed them, and I love the fact that when I go to comic, there's always something, go to a convention, there's something you need to pick up. It's based on two characters called Mu and Kyo. Mu is a little cow, Cute mm-hmm. little man.
Oh, that's the noise that cows make.
Is it?
Moo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Keo isn't.
Maybe it's the noise that person makes.
Moo, maybe. Moo, from what I could tell, is a female cow.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. There are three stories. The first one's them in South Africa, the second one's called 905, and the third one's called Market Garden. They are very, very adorable stories about Moo and Keo and all the mischief that they get into. In the first book, in South Africa, Moo is from South Africa and goes back to see her family, but Keo wants to go, so Keo stays away. And they have lots of fun, and then he's discovered, and then he has to go to a hotel, and lots of silly things, like he didn't tell work he was leaving, and
that is just weird.
It's adorable, and there's a really funny. I don't want to spoil it too much. I really recommend people go and read the webcomic. But in the when they go to South Africa, there's a really funny sub story involving a lion cub. It's very, very cute, and you should read it. The website for the, if you want to read the Moo and Keo webcomic, which I'm telling you to, is www.mookeo.com.
Man, you do that so much better than I do.
What do you normally do?
Well, I just normally go there and .com, but Jane's got such a lovely speaking voice.
Thank you.
It makes me want to go, well, I do go to Moo and Keo, but it makes me want to go there more.
Luckily, though, since they've started letting people with common-sounding voices onto television, you are much more likely to get advertising work than Jane, because she speaks properly, but regional accents and stuff, people like that, don't
they?
I don't. I think it's common. I think TV was better when it was all...
Shut up and I'll cut you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that's how they get you to get a bank account or whatever now. Yeah, you should totally go get it. It's cool and snazzy in there. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry,
that's,
Jane.
That's all right. The second book is 9 to 5, and it follows Keo at work. He has a little bit of a love interest in this book as well, which is very adorable. And Moo has a bit of a tough decision to make. She has to make a decision that could affect Keo and his job. So this is, again, a very cute book. Lots of real-life antidotes that Matt's experienced into this comic book, made in a cute way, but you can relate to it as well, which I found very nice. And the third story that he's put together is Market Garden, which is about Moo has a garden she's very proud of, and there seems to be... she's growing some prize-winning vegetables and flowers and plants and everything, but there seems to be some sort of stealthy garden variety thieves around.
Garden variety thieves?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, so I don't want to spoil that too much because it's cute. I don't want to... It feels like I'm rushing through this. They are just really great comics. I really want... They're available for free online, which is why I don't want to sort of... go on talk about the stories too much. I really, really recommend you go and
they're beyond cute. They are proper lovely,
the art
fuzzy
is,
feeling.
Yeah, and when you're poorly and developing superpowers, they were the perfect accompaniment. So they really did help me out.
Some of them are quite clever.
Yes, yeah. Interesting. Matt will be at MCM in October. He will also be a Thought Bubble in November. He often wears some very swanky hats. There are other things you can buy than the comics. He has some very cute little miniature lion cubs from the first book. So you should definitely check him out if you're going to be at any of those conventions and say hi. He is absolutely lovely.
Lovely stuff.
He is, yeah. And he collects Postman Pat's. Drawings of Postman Pat. So
drawings
with
of Postman
Pat. Novelty noses.
Well, if you go on YouTube and you look at the third Thought Bubble video you've
second
got up,
Thought
Bubble, second
yeah.
Thought Bubble
never
video.
Never did the last day.
There was... You never did the last day?
No, I was too tired.
Couldn't be bothered.
We didn't get a lot of footage on the last day.
We were all very tired. There's some video of David Made of Wind drawing him a Postman Pat in his sketchbook.
That's right, yeah. Okay, and the other book I'm going to talk about is Bunny.
The
Awesome Bunny by Lem.
The Awesome Lem.
Lem's a rock star, isn't he?
He is. He's, yes, he is definitely a jack of all trades. Bunny, it's a I really need to mention about Moon Kyo. Something that was revealed on Twitter this week. There's something exciting coming up in Moon Kyo. Yes. Matt wouldn't elaborate to what, so you'll have to watch the space. So you'll definitely have to go on the website now.
All nude adult Moon Kyo.
No, that's just
hot.
You ruin everything, James.
He does. He didn't ruin that though. It's just. It's
can you say we never have anything nice in this house, not with you about?
No.
Oh, okay.
Can you say if you don't sort your shit out, I'm leaving and I'm taking the baby with me?
Oh, that's horrible. Thought you were there this morning.
Sorry, James.
Okay.
Bunny? It's okay, you both sort it out. It's fine. A couple of years and it'll be like it never happened.
Okay. Bunny, the Book of Random. This is the first Bunny book. I don't have the second one, which I'll be picking up. Again, Bunny online webcomic hasn't been updated as much as it maybe should have been.
Because he's a rock star.
Yes, yeah. Because he's being a rock star at the moment. But I think there's some stuff going on at the moment. So, again, watch this space. Bunny can be found at bunny.frozenreality, or one word, .co.uk. This is different to Moon Kyo. There is no sort of story in this. It is literally pages of very, very, very abstract, cute, lovable, adorable bunny doing lots of very silly things. It reminds me a little bit of the Bunny Suicides. Mm. I don't know if either of you are familiar with Bunny Suicides.
Yes, it's just strips, basically. It's more traditionally, if the other book's more like newspaper strips.
Yeah.
That's more like cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Like the Far Side and stuff as well. It's one panel things.
Lem's art style is. It's just brilliant. It's so cute, but so weird at the same time. And Bunny gets himself into some really silly situations. And again, real life things, you can see yourself being Bunny doing that. So that's always a nice
thing. He's got an excellent comic sensibility as well.
Yes, yeah. I don't really know what else to say about Bunny, apart from go and have a look. Again, online, for free, have a look.
Scarlett recommends it.
Yes,
it's a really
yes.
nice little book. It's Lem, got like an ISBN.
I don't know if Lem will be at MCM in October or Thought Bubble, although he was last year. Again, go to the website, have a check and see what's going on with him. When he is at the conventions, you obviously can buy book one and two. I don't know if there'll be a third one around. And also he hand makes plush toys of Bunny. So all of them individual, unique and quirky. So.
And my present that I brought home for Scarlett from Thought Bubble last year was a bunny. And she genuinely loves it. She points at it and she wants you to get it down for her.
Bunny is, the art style is different to Moon Kyo. Moon Kyo, it's not, I think it's probably more, it's more sort of, I don't want to say children's book, but more...
I was going to say it's
got that vibe to it, I think, but that's part of
Kyo
its charm.
Moon Kyo is more like all ages, charming, whereas Bunny is quite, he's quite clever.
Yeah, the art is, it's sort of...
it's more abstract, isn't it, I think.
And I was just flicking through it, and there's science jokes.
Yeah.
And there's a reference to Fear and Loathing Las Vegas.
Yes,
so,
more than one. There's, film, music, science, politics. There's
cheese.
There's references to everything. Yeah, cheese. I think there is a cheese one.
There is at least one cheese one, yes.
Bunny ones, space ones, food ones. Brain ones, yes.
Pirate ones.
Pirate ones. There's lots of references in there.
Do a pirate impersonation.
Are you guys a funny guys? I'm gonna draw you a doubloon.
R. Yeah, well, I always put the Y on the end, Y on the beginning, just to be safe, because otherwise I sound like a farmer.
Oh.
Yar! Sounds better than R.
But it's ooh-ar, isn't it, if you're a farmer?
Ooh-ar, well, R.
Ooh-ar.
I think my pirate's pretty solid.
It is,
yeah. Best.
It's a New York pirate.
Best ever.
Ever.
Thank you.
That was my regional accent.
Means a lot coming from you,
actually.
That
was my regional accent.
That was great, Jane. Thank you. I like...
good antidotes for if you're feeling poorly. You should definitely...
They're both very cute books. I like the look of them. That's a particularly nice shade of... What is that? Salmon pink?
Was there an M&M in that colour?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that one of my arm hairs?
I was trying not to draw attention to it. I wasn't sure what hair it was.
I've only put that there to wind the pair of you up. I'm joking. The next point on there is because we've been talking a lot in the previous podcast about Momcast 100.
Oh, it says 200.
Did you think it said 100?
Yeah, just totally random.
Were you in a nightmare loop? That, oh my God, I'm going to do it all over again.
I didn't know what was going on. I thought something had happened that was exciting.
Just to mess with the heads of Nick and Jane. I was going to call you Nick's partners now.
My reading comprehension's just incredibly bad at the moment.
I've put Momcast 200 news. We're not asking for contributions or anything. You've got a couple of years before we do that sort of thing again.
Can I ask you to help me with something? I've just decided. I would like the... You know when something's incredibly bad?
Yeah.
I have decided that I would like it if we could make the word incredibad a thing.
Okay.
So if you two could just over the next week, sometimes when you're tweeting, so if you're tweeting about something like Nadine Dorries or something
Flashpoint
like that.
Flashpoint 5 was incredibly bad.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, if we could, and I think we could make it a thing. I like it.
Why didn't you tell me about that word before I did my review?
I should have done, because I really could have used it. Yeah. I didn't think you thought it was incredibly bad.
Is it incredibly bad or incredible and bad at the same time?
It's a context sensitive.
Because Flashpoint was incredible and bad at the same time. It wasn't incredibly bad. It was just...
It seemed quite mind-bending and crazy.
It was.
Doctor Who. Did we not talk about Doctor Who for a reason?
It was all right. It was good. I thought it was all right. Good fun 45 minutes.
I think they could have dragged some of the story elements out for a few weeks.
I really like not being overly invested in Doctor Who. I enjoy it as 45 minutes of entertainment on a Saturday, which means I didn't have to go into a tailspin on the internet because I felt betrayed that certain things I wanted to have happened in the story didn't happen, apparently.
I didn't like Hitler. I think he
does.
He was very impressive. He was a brilliant fictional invention because he struck me as a thoroughly nasty sort. And I don't know where Stephen Moffat comes up with his ideas.
It's incredible.
So, what are you doing this week?
Why are you saying it like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Upbeat.
I'm seeing friends most of the weekend. We've got friends coming round Saturday night. And we're seeing the chap I should have saw last week but got all confused. I think we're seeing him and his daughter on Sunday. So I've got quite a full weekend of seeing
Charles. Is his daughter little like Scarlett or big?
She's
like
1 month younger.
Oh, she's going to be good.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Or they might have they met each other before.
No, they don't know.
They might hate each other. It might be like in The Simpsons.
I can't imagine Scarlett hating
No, babies aren't like that, are they?
Look, she's Maggie so Simpson good, is funny. An adorable little baby, and that other kid with the one eyebrow still
I don't think my friend's daughter's a monobrowed evil child.
No.
No.
She might be like Scarlett's evil twin. She have a little goatee.
No?
No. Oh, okay, fine. Maybe they'll get on fine. I don't know.
Maybe. They might have a knife fight. If they do, I'll video it.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it just wouldn't look right.
It'd be like a Havana street ball brawl.
Street ball.
Yeah, street ball, yeah.
Jane, what are you doing?
Not too sure. Oh, I'm going to convince the whole world that the singing cherry exists.
What's the singing cherry?
It's the singing.
Leave me now.
James knows. I proved it to him last night. Oh,
she proved her cherry can sing to me last night.
All right.
Nicola watched. It was a happening scene.
It's not my cherry. The singing cherry exists.
It's not your cherry, though.
No, it doesn't belong to me.
It's just somebody else's cherry.
It's a cynical piece of advertising. Yep.
It was an advert for a mobile network, which came out quite a while ago. Mm. And although I'd never go to that mobile network, their advertisement campaigns were very good, and that did stick in my head. Mm. And we were watching something else last night that had a piece of music which was in this advert, and I was singing along. And the only reason I knew the song was because it reminded me of the singing cherry.
Was it the one that James just sang?
Yes, it's that one. And Chicago, then we all, if you leave me now.
And then we all danced along to some happy hardcore tunes I found on the
internet.
You
danced along.
Was
We're having it large.
What are raisins? Are raisins cherries or grapes?
The grapes.
Dried grapes.
So yeah, I will be doing that and seeing friends, and I'm sure there's something else I'm supposed to be doing. It feels... Oh!
Right, a blog.
Yeah. No, it's my mum's birthday.
Oh, shit.
Well,
yeah,
you've got to remember that.
Yeah, so I'll be sending her a card, and in her card I'm going to put IOU one slap-up meal and big shopping trip.
Just make sure that you remember to write the whole thing, otherwise you'll end up writing IOU a big slap. And that won't go down quite as well.
Oh, no.
No, exactly. You don't want her to make that face.
Someone, maybe I should call her first.
Yeah, but then you might get cut off midway through the call. Also, texting is a bad idea.
Pigeon? Carrier pigeon, yeah.
Pigeon might be good, but if the pigeon accidentally poos on some of the card, it's probably better if you say it to her in person. But then you can just give her the slap-up meal and...
Telegram?
Telegram.
I thought it'd be quite sweet if I did that.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a slap.
You've ruined my lovely... I should rethink this.
Tell her you'll take her out for a feast. A bean feast.
A big nosh up.
I was going to say... Okay. Yeah.
I was saying that thing about the singing cherry. I just remembered that because Beyonce and the other one...
Congratulations to Beyonce and Jay-Z. We're so happy for you.
But I got the song from Snuffbox, Rapper with a Baby, stuck
in
my head.
I shared it with
colleagues at work, and now they had it stuck in their head all day.
I got it because I did it with a lady.
I've had the theme tune to the popular children's cartoon Barney stuck in my head because James was singing Bananas in Pyjamas. And because when I was visiting Nick and his lovely wife at the weekend, we had a bit of a children's retro program.
I'm so out of it on those conversations because I'm so much older than everyone else.
Did you have a Peter Kay conversation? Do you remember Orangina?
But about, children's TV.
So basically, I'm glad I missed out. So it was basically it's piss poor observational comedy you guys were
doing. No, we had a long conversation about sex education as well.
Yeah. I can't remember what we said. I think we were drinking, weren't we?
Yeah.
And it was great.
We were the only two awake, so.
Sounds fucking tedious.
It was great. We wouldn't have had as much fun if you'd been there.
No,
right.
You really wouldn't.
Because
I'm obnoxious and overbearing when I'm drunk, as you can find out for yourself if you listen to the last episode of the Mumcast.
So we should...
Just sort of
I can't remember.
We should go now. What?
Well, I'm doing nothing.
Oh,
It would have been nice to...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you'd spoken about your week.
No. We've been talking for so long.
We're doing
just
a long goodbye again. Yeah. Sorry, Nick.
Just assume you would have covered it.
Did you mention that this week?
What? I can't. It's upside down. No, I will mention the press releases and so forth we got next week because I completely forgot to add them to our news because I left the news thing. So sorry.
Nobody needs to hear your excuses. They just need results.
What are you doing, Nick? What are you doing? I want to know. Tell me. No.
I very deliberately, I told my wife that she could see people if she wanted. That would be nice. But I am very deliberately trying to keep my weekend free.
You're having an open weekend.
Yeah. Because one thing I did, though, is I have stuck all of my Elephant Words stories in Evernote so that I don't have to keep going. So I'm going to go through, at some point, I'm going to go through all 170 stories or whatever it is and try and work out if I want to put some of them in books. Mm. The worrying thing is, I don't know, I might just be too conceited or too much like Ed Wood to do this. Because as I was going through them and reading little bits of them, I was thinking, oh no, there's some good stuff in that one. I'll want you. And I was like through most of them. There were maybe only 10 that I looked at and thought, well, that's going to be useless. I'll just get rid of that. That's like 10 volumes worth of stuff.
That's the first stage. Then you pass it on to somebody else and it gets whittled down even more. Then it goes back to you and then you whittle it down even more. Start the process.
The process is starting anyway. Although Tony Lee has been, while we've been recording, Tony Lee has been talking about periodically people online, some, like pros online, give sort of advice about comics and breaking in. And he's been kind of talking about Kickstarter and saying that some people... There seems to be this very, very small, slow-moving movement among some comic pros that's kind of vaguely anti-Kickstarter. Or things like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, saying lots of people are doing really good work, but people are using it as a way of avoiding any sort of editorial mandate. And I'm not entirely sure I agree, mainly because I want to use it without any sort of editorial mandate. So it might just cut against most of the things I want to. But anyway, I'll be looking at that. But that's an interesting debate that might be going on at the moment.
Yeah, but as someone who's not really that invested in it, I'm just a consumer, I think it's bullshit. I think the market will take care of it. If your book's good, people will buy it.
Yeah, and if it isn't,
if it's crap, it won't.
That's kind of what I think. I think
Kickstarter's a good thing. I think actually, although he knows what he's talking about because he's in the industry, I think a lot of what he's talking about here is big fat pig's balls.
We have some contributions this week. We've got two contributors who haven't contributed before. The lovely Graham Johnson and my friend Vanessa both this week have stuff in the show. So thanks, thank you very much to them.
And even if it's Vanity and Publishing, Tim, if people can get it published, what's fucking wrong with people just getting their work published regardless, you know? Everyone publish something independently just to stick it to the man. Bye-bye! Bye-bye.
There's a star for everyone, but some get lost in darkness. When your pretty smile was gone, I went out looking for a
realize
if you fucking change a thing, I'm going to be really upset. It's got a meter that is tricky. A little wiki wacky wiki.
Are there more pens like this?
Oh, out loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're still going, it could be
Jim
any.
Lee.
Jim Lee.
There's about 7 dozen people. I mean, exactly. It's the family business, though, for him, isn't it? So it's easy for him.
Those fucking Lees.
There's millions of them.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
They can get into it easily.